Reverse impact timing for stronger drops, advanced edition. This is one of those techniques that, once you hear it working, you start noticing it in every pro drum and bass tune. The big idea today is simple. Stop thinking about when the reverse starts, and start thinking about where the apex lands. The apex is that highest energy moment near the end of a reversed sound. If that apex lands even a tiny bit late, your drop feels like it arrives after the punch, and the punch feels smaller. If that apex lands right on the drop, or just a hair before it, the drop feels inevitable. We are building a drop impact effects chain with three layers. Layer 1 is a reverse cymbal or crash pull for texture. Layer 2 is a reverse reverb suck-in, usually based on a snare transient, for that psychoacoustic vacuum effect. And layer 3 is a subsafe impact that hits on the drop without wrecking headroom. We'll do it with stock Ableton devices and a few arrangement moves that make it feel expensive. First, let's set ourselves up for drum and bass timing. Assume around 174 BPM. At that tempo, one bar is about 1.38 seconds. Half a bar is about 0.69 seconds. Quarter bar is roughly 0.34 seconds. That matters, because reverse effects that are a bar long in one genre can feel like a whole movie trailer in DNB. In arrangement view, set two locators, one called PR redrop, covering the last one or two bars before the drop, and one called drop, placed exactly on the first kick or snare transient you want to feel as the downbeat impact. Then turn on fixed grid and set it to 1/8 for nudging precisely without getting lost. Now, layer 1. The classic reverse crash pull. Fast, effective, and it works in pretty much every substyle. Create an auto track and name it FXREV Crash. Choose a crash, ride, or splash with a bit of character. Jungle rides are amazing here, because they have that noisy metallic tail that reverses into a nice texture. Here's the workflow that keeps everything aligned. Place your crash exactly on the drop, right on the transient where you want that impact energy to land. Then select about a bar of audio including the tail and consolidate it, so you've got one clean file. Now go into clip view and hit reverse. This next part is the timing rule that actually makes it hit. Drag the reversed clip so the end of the reversed clip lands exactly on the drop marker, not the start, the end, because the end is where the sound is loudest once reversed. As a starting point for length, try half a bar to one bar for rollers, one bar for heavier neuro-style pulls, and quarter to half a bar for jungle if you want it snappy and less cinematic. But remember, we're going to adjust based on what the drop needs, not what a template says. Now shape it, turn on clip fades, give it a long fade-in so it ramps smoothly, and a short fade-out so it cuts right at the drop. That short fade-out is your transient protection. It's how you get the excitement without smearing the kick and snare. Add a stock device chain. Start with a Q8, high pass around 200 to 400 Hz. We're not letting reverse cymbals leak low mid into the drop. If it's poking your snare in the face, dip a bit around 2 to 4 kHz. Then add saturator, turn on soft clip, and drive it maybe 2 to 6 dB depending on how aggressive you want it. Then an auto filter, low pass mode, 12 dB slope, and automate the cutoff rising into the drop, like 1.5 kHz up to 12 kHz. That gives you a sense of opening up. Quick arrangement move that makes a big difference. In the last eighth note before the drop, automate a utility gain down by 1 or 2 dB on this reverse track. That tiny dip creates contrast, so the first kick and snare feel bigger without you actually turning them up. Okay, layer 2 is the pro level tension. Reverse reverb suck-in, usually printed from the snare. This is where timing becomes a weapon. The concept is, take a dry transient, generate a long reverb fully wet, print it to audio, reverse it, and then time the peak so it lands right at the drop, without washing over the transient. Duplicate your snare to a new audio track and call it Snare REV Print. Grab a single snare hit that happens on the drop, or use a dedicated snare sample if you want consistency. Now add hybrid reverb, pick hall or plate, set decay somewhere from 3.5 seconds up to 8 seconds. Longer is more dramatic, but also harder to control. Keep pre-delay tight, like 0 to 10 milliseconds, and set the mix to 100% wet. After the reverb, add EQ8 and high pass around 200 to 500 Hz. If it sounds boxy, notch a little around 300 to 500. Now we need to print that reverb. You can freeze and flatten the track, which is fast, or do a resample track for more control. Either way, you want an audio clip that contains the reverb tail. Consolidate 1 to 2 bars of it, then reverse the clip. Now comes the advanced timing trick. Don't assume it starts one bar before the drop. Instead, align the apex. Zoom in around the drop transient. Look at the reversed reverb waveform and find where it's densest and loudest near the end. That's the apex. You have two main options. Option 1 is clean slam. Put that apex exactly on the drop transient. Option 2 is suction. Put the apex just before the transient, like 5 to 20 milliseconds early. That creates the feeling that the sound is being pulled into the hit, like the air disappears and then the drum arrives. And here's a teacher tip that saves you time later. Instead of constantly nudging the clip, use track delay as your micro timing tool. In Ableton, set the reverse reverb track delay to somewhere between minus 5 and minus 20 milliseconds for that vacuum effect, or keep it around 0 for a clean arrive on the hit feel. Track delay is especially useful once you start grouping effects and mixing, because you can keep your clips visually aligned while adjusting the feel. Also, do fade management right at the drop. Add a micro fade out, like 5 to 15 milliseconds, so you don't click, and so the reverb doesn't step on the transient. Now, we need to keep the drop clean. Put a compressor on the reverse reverb track and sidechain it from your kick and snare group, or your drum bus. Use a ratio around 4:1 up to 10:1, fast attack like 0.3 to 2 milliseconds, and a release around 60 to 140 milliseconds, matching the groove. Aim for 3 to 8 dB of gain reduction. You want the reverse to be huge until the hit happens, and then politely get out of the way. Extra advanced note, full band ducking can sometimes make the reverse feel like it collapses in a cheap way. If you want it more controlled, use multiband dynamics on the reverse bus and duck mainly the mid band that collides with the snare crack. That way the reverse keeps its air and width, while the snare stays sharp in the center. Now layer 3. A subsafe impact. Drum and bass drops live and die on low-end clarity, and reverse effects often sneak in low-mid build-up right before the drop, making your sub feel smaller. Create a track called Effects Impact. Use a short impact sample or build one. Think of it as three parts: a low thump around 50 to 80 Hz, a mid punch around 150 to 250, and a talk click around 2 to 6 kHz. On that track, use EQ8. If your drop has a heavy subline, high pass the impact around 35 to 45 Hz, so you're not stacking useless sub-sub energy. If it competes with a kick body, dip a bit around 100 to 200, then add drum bus. Drive it 2 to 8. Usually keep boom off, because it can muddy a D and B drop fast. And add transients, like plus 5 to plus 15 if you need more snap. Timing rule. Place the impact exactly on the drop. Always. If something feels late, do not move the impact later to match your reverses. Move the reverses earlier. The impact is the anchor. Now let's talk arrangement choices, because timing isn't one size fits all. For a roller, go minimal and tight. Put your reverse crash half a bar before the drop. Put your reverse reverb half a bar before the drop. Then create a micro gap in the last 16th before the drop by muting a drum element or automating utility down on a group. That tiny gap is like pulling the floor out for a moment, and it makes the drop hit harder. For neuro or heavy styles, go more dramatic. Reverse reverb can be a full bar with a long haul. Then add a second reverse that's shorter, like a quarter bar or even an eighth, right before the drop, so you get a two-stage pull. Long atmosphere plus short urgency. Pro move. Pan and width them differently. Make the long one wider, and the short one more mono. That way the center locks at the drop, while the sides create size. For jungle, keep it shorter. Quarter bar reverses often feel right. Emphasize ride reversal, add tape-ish saturation, and keep the pre-drop busy, but carve space with aggressive high-pass filtering so the drop doesn't feel choked. Now let's hit the common mistake so you can self-diagnose quickly. If the reverse ends late, meaning its apex is after the drop transient, the drop feels weak. Fix. Align the apex, not the start. If there's too much low mid in the reverse, you get mud right before the drop, and the drop feels smaller. Fix. High pass and be brave about cutting 200 to 600 if needed. If you don't manage fades, you get clicks and sudden level jumps. Fix. Clip fades and micro fade outs right at the drop. If the reverse is louder than the drop, your ear perceives the drop is smaller. Fix. Control the reverse level and consider a tiny dip, even 0.5 to 1.5 dB, on the drum group or master in the last eighth before the drop, then release on the drop. It's a contrast trick, not a loudness trick. And if your pre-drop reverb washes the snare, your snare loses its crack. Fix. Duck it with sidechain or do frequency-dependent ducking in the snare crack region, often 2 to 5 kHz. Here are a few darker, heavier pro tips. Try a pitch dive into the drop. Automate clip transposition down by 2 to 7 semitones over the reverse. Even subtle movement feels menacing. If you do it, make the curve accelerate near the end, because that's where the ear pays most attention. Check mono. Put utility on your reverse bus and hit mono. If the reverse vanishes, reduce width or add more mid content. A reverse that only exists in the sides can feel cool soloed and then disappear in a club. And remember the worst case scenario timing test. Loop 1 bar before to 1 bar after the drop. Listen at very low volume. If the drop doesn't feel like it opens up, your apex is probably late, or you've got too much low mid width masking the hit. Alright, quick mini practice exercise to lock this in. At 174 BPM, choose a 16 bar section, where the drop is at bar 17. Build 3 tracks. Effects REV crash with a half bar reverse and a high pass at 300 Hz. REV reverb audio with a 1 bar reversed snare reverb. Sidechain to drums for about 5 dB of gain reduction. And FX impact with a hit exactly on the drop. Then add a micro gap of 1/16th right before the drop. Export 2 versions. In version A, align your reverse apex exactly on the drop. In version B, set your reverse bus track delay to around minus 10 milliseconds so the apex feels just early. Level match the exports. Then decide which one hits harder on your system, at low volume and in mono. Final recap. Reverse impacts are powerful, but timing is the real weapon. Align the apex to the transient, or slightly before for suction. Use clip fades, eck, and ducking so the tension doesn't steal punch. Layer texture, psychoacoustics, and a clean impact. And keep the low end clean. Always. If you tell me what your sub style is for the drop, like Roller Sign, Reese, Neuro FM, or Jungle Bass, I can suggest reverse lengths and ducking settings that match that exact vibe.